Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons. And as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and around the world, but also to welcome to the show four talented, exciting, charismatic personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Giles Brandreth, and seated on my left, Suki Webster and Graham Norton. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I'm going to give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House in the centre of London, West One. And we're going to begin the show with Paul Merton. Paul, the long arm of the law. 60 seconds as usual, Paul, starting now.
Dr. Crippen may well have been innocent. The body they found underneath his house, which for many years they supposed to be that of his wife, has turned out to be somebody else altogether. Recent advances in DNA may actually prove that the gentleman I mentioned earlier was completely not guilty. He was, of course, caught by an invention by Marconi called the radio. He was doing a disc jockey turn on Radio 1 and got spurred by the authorities, as he's been afraid to do.
Graham, you've challenged.
Repetition of radio.
Oh, yes.
Yes, on radio, yes. Graham Norton, you had a correct challenge, so you get a point for that, and you have 34 seconds, the long arm of the law, starting now.
I have only encountered the long arm of the law once. It was many years ago. I was walking home early in the morning in Cork, in Ireland. And the bakery had long trays of warm bread out in the street. Well, the hunger came upon us walking home. Oh, I said walking home.
Giles, you challenge.
A repetition of walking.
Right. So, Giles, you have a point for a correct challenge. 13 seconds available. The long arm of the law starting now.
I had the honour of meeting P.C. George Dixon of Dock Green some years ago.
Paul, challenge.
Impossible. He was a fictional character.
No.
What, you mean you can meet the fictional character?
Yes. Yes.
All right, OK.
Shall we get on?
Yes, you can get on. You've got nine seconds. And another point to you, the long arm of the law, Giles, starting now.
Once upon a time, within the Metropolitan Constabulary, there were rules...
Paul Challenge.
Sorry, that was deviation. Contrabulary. What was that? What sort of word was that?
Oh, we now mock people with speech impediments.
Come to this. I never knew you had a speech impediment, do you?
No, I don't.
I thought you were posh.
He's got incredibly...
I think he's rich and talk like that.
Though he was speaking fast, he did convey the fact he was trying to say constabulary.
Oh, okay, I got that he was trying to say it, obviously. I think we just disagree on his amount of success.
Paul, I think what we'll do is we have enjoyed your interruptions.
Doesn't
so
matter
much.
To me, because later on I'm going down the pub with Winnie the Pooh and Sherlock Holmes.
6 seconds. The long arm of the law starting now.
The point is that the traditional copper was obliged to be over 6 foot tall and to have extremely long...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Giles Brandreth, so I don't need to really remind you that at the end of the round, he has more points than anybody else. Giles, we'd like you to begin the next round. The Eiffel Tower. Will you tell us something about that edifice in this game, starting now?
I'd be pleased to talk about the Eiffel Tower, and I'm amused that you should give me this subject, Nicholas, because I've just, in fact, returned from Paris, where the Eiffel Tower exists as the tallest building in that great city, erected in 1889.
Graham Challenge.
Isn't the Tower Montparnasse, that thing?
No! No!
Isn't that taller?
No!
Lady down here, no. See the really clever lady? The really, really smart, clever lady?
Giles, can you justify...
I can certainly justify that the tower, the Eiffel Tower, is indeed the tallest building in Paris, the tallest erected edifice. There are four other taller buildings in France. None of them are within the city of Paris.
What about this Mount Parnasse?
I was there this afternoon, madam.
They built another extension since you were there.
There is no question that the Eiffel Tower is the tallest edifice in Paris. Right. Can we move on? Can we sweep on?
Has anyone got a taser?
Where is the Mount Parnasse building?
It's that big tower south of the river. Isn't that taller than that?
No.
It must be taller than that. It's a skyscraper.
No.
Excuse me. Can we just listen to that accent? Yeah. That is a French person.
Right. May I ask you, are you from Paris?
No, but I lived there for 4 years.
40 years or 4 years?
40 years. Many years.
We will go with the erudite lady in the front row. Yeah.
What?
Who's lived for 40 years in Paris.
See? Oh, please, Nicholas. This is outrageous. I mean...
Someone at the back has just Googled it. You know it's true.
I've decided it is on, Giles, and I think you've had good enough innings on this already, and you've expressed yourself, and I think you should calm down now for a bit. Otherwise, we'll have to bring the medics in. Graham, you had a correct challenge.
Oh.
And you have the Eiffel Tower.
I'll share the cash prize with you.
The Eiffel Tower, Graham, is with you. 49 seconds starting now.
The Eiffel Tower is a quaint little structure in Paris.
Deviation. It Why? Is not a little structure. It is apparently, according to you, Nicholas, the second tallest edifice in Paris.
Yes, but... If you're Graham Norton and you speak with affection about something, you can describe it as a little charming little place. Yes. I think he was being endearing about it, and so I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Graham, and you continue with the Eiffel Tower with 45 seconds starting now.
And I imagine it'll be lovely when it's finished.
I think... Charles.
It was finished on September the 27th, 1889.
Giles, on this occasion, yes, you had the benefit of the doubt.
Yes,
it was finished. So you have the Eiffel Towers back with you. 41 seconds starting now.
It is the creation of the great Gustave Eiffel, who originally designed it for...
Paul Challenge.
No, that's definitely wrong. So they copied it from the one in Blackpool, didn't they?
So
deviation, it was nothing to do with Gustave Eiffel.
No.
Fine, somebody back me up on this.
They're definitely winding you up now, Charles. An incorrect challenge. Giles, you have another point. 38 seconds. The Eiffel Tower, starting now.
The French author Guy de Maupassant took lunch there every day because he said it was the only place in the City of Light from which he could not see the hideous edifice.
He said
challenge.
City earlier.
You had the city earlier. Well done.
Repetition.
Well listened. Our first time player of the game is spotting these things well. 30 seconds are available. Suki, will you tell us something about the Eiffel Tower starting now?
The Eiffel Tower stands in that most romantic city of Paris. Many young lovers have met beneath the tower for clandestine trysts, kissing each other and whispering sweet nothings like, "Caw, you're a little darling, aren't you?" As they climb to the top of the tower, breathless, they look out over that gorgeous capital of France. They are so enamored with each other and of the place that they fall into each other's...
So Suki Webster was then speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point, and she's now equal in second place with Graham Norton. Out in the lead is Giles, 2 points ahead, and Paul is training them all a little. Suki, we'd like you to begin the next round. It's a very good subject, a fun guy. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game starting now?
My favourite kind of fun guy is the one that you can whap into a pan and fry up with your eggs and bacon in the morning. And I don't mean a mushroom, I mean a man that does that has got to be good for a laugh. Today I'm surrounded by four fun guys. Paul Merton, that dry wit and gorgeous godlike creature. Next to him...
Who buzzed then?
Giles, you
this is
challenged.
What I pay my license fee for. Who buzzed then?
Giles, you challenge.
Yes, I challenge.
Why?
Deviation.
He is a fun guy.
Listen, you may have a
Did
different...
Did you hear the description? Would you like it replayed to you?
Yeah, no.
You may have a different opinion of Paul Merton. But that is the image that Sukie Webster has, and she's entitled to her image of Paul Merton.
Yeah, the deviation is her. Poor darling girl, she's obviously a deviant if this is her. If Paul is her idea of a sort of godlike creature, she's got problems. And I was just trying to spare her and her family from this sort of public humiliation. This is sort of ghastly.
I think you're digging yourself a kind of grave here, actually. Because I'm never going to agree with you.
No, well, that's all right.
Suki, no, you're allowed to have your own opinion of all these four people on the panel. I'm interested to know what you think of the other three.
Yes.
an incorrect challenge, a point to you, Suki, and there are 37 seconds starting now.
Next to him, Giles Brandreth. He's posh, he's angry, and he's gorgeous.
Paul Sellers.
This is good.
Well, you're just devaluing the word now, aren't you? I mean, if Giles Brandreth is gorgeous,
No, I mean, Paul, if she can have that opinion of you, she can...
You're just waiting to hear what she says about you, aren't you?
Yeah, of course. Can't wait for it. So, Suki, another incorrect challenge. You have 29 seconds. A fun guy starting now.
On my left, that funster, that naughty, potty mouth, but lovable Graham Norton. What a fun guy he is. But the best...
Graham, wait, you're just getting to me.
No gorgeous. Nothing. Over there, a wall of beauty. Here, some swearing giggly man. I tanned for this.
You do look gorgeous.
I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give Graham a bonus point for his interjection there and what he said, because it was so enjoyable. But, Suki, I gave it against the others, and therefore I still have to give it with you on your descriptions and say you have 20 seconds still.
All fours.
A fun guy starting now.
The most fun.
Yeah, fun.
Hesitation.
No. Not at all. She was just about to get into a... No. She was just... It was all expectancy everywhere. No. Right, another incorrect challenge. Another point to you, Suki. And another... 18 seconds. A fun guy starting now.
Last but not least, Nicholas Parsons. What a fun guy he is. Only last week we were at a party when he stripped naked, had nipples...
Stripped naked.
I don't know why I gave you the benefit of the doubt for the last few minutes. Giles, why have you challenged?
Well, I mean, for a variety of reasons. One, to protect your reputation. Two, because the erotic charge that there had been in the studio earlier on suddenly evaporated. But principally, if I'm to be honest, because of a repetition of the word last. Last but not least, and then afterwards, last week, I was at a party.
Yes, that sound.
So I have to give it to Giles. A point to you. A fun guy is with you. 8 seconds starting now.
Guy Fawkes was one of the most amusing of all people of the 17th century. He loved a bonfire, fireworks, all sorts of excitement.
Wait a minute. No, Paul, challenge before the whistle.
No, I don't think he loved a bonfire because they really didn't only became popular once he was killed.
No. No, he was the 17th person to be killed that November by fire.
But he loved the bonfire and fireworks. He loves the bonfire and fireworks. The reason why we have fireworks is because of Guy Fawkes.
How do you know?
Because I built the Eiffel Tower.
Honestly, no, what Paul said is absolutely correct.
Yes.
I mean, he didn't decide to blow up the Houses of Parliament because he enjoyed a bonfire. We now have bonfires celebrating his activities. So, no, to the benefit of the doubt goes to Paul. He has a half a second on a fun guy starting now.
Dressed up!
So, at the end of that round, Paul Merton was speaking to Whistle Wayne, gained that extra point. He's still in fourth place, and then he's Graham up in, and now Sukie Webster's taken the lead. Graham, will you begin the next round? Oh, a lovely subject. The plinth in Trafalgar Square. Will you tell us something about that famous empty plinth? 60 seconds, starting now.
The plinth in Trafalgar Square is now being put to marvellous use. A series of street performers and artists can perform there without being peed on by dogs. I think that's a lovely thing to do. There all the time, though, when you go by in the middle of the night. Last evening, there was a woman counting beads on a rope at about 11:30. Doesn't she have a television? Why not go home and watch that? It seemed odd to me. There are other plinths in Trafalgar Square, of course. Why was that one left empty? It can't have been for this, surely. This wasn't God's plan.
Giles Challenge.
Repetition of this.
Oh, yes. Thank God for that.
So, Giles, you've gone in first. 24 seconds available. The plinth in Trafalgar Square, starting now.
In younger and happier days, when I was a member of Her Majesty's government, I had a lowly employment at the Department of Culture and National Heritage, where the offices are in Trafalgar Square. And I traipsed across the square every day and saw...
I'm an idiot. I stab myself. I fall on my pen.
Ah, that would look good on the plinth.
Yes, you can repeat the subject on the card, or any word in the subject on the card, and that's what Graham realised too late, but he did interrupt Giles, so he has another point, and he has the plinth in Trafalgar Square. 11 seconds, Giles, starting now.
It was I who saw that this plinth was deserted and suggested to the then minister that perhaps we could fill it with somebody interesting, like Margaret Thatcher in her tank, or indeed the Queen Mother under the table.
So Giles Brandes was then speaking again as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's increased his lead at the end of the round. Paul, we're back with you. Will you begin the next round? My favourite diet. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
My girlfriend's on a seafood diet. She sees food and she diets. That doesn't make any sense.
Sufi challenge.
It didn't make sense.
Didn't make sense.
Hesitation as well.
Definitely.
He paused after it didn't make sense.
Well, it wasn't that. He didn't get a laugh. That's why he paused. Suki, my favourite diet is with you. 56 seconds available, starting now.
My favourite diet is not a diet. I don't see the point in it. I think people...
Graham Challenge.
Yeah, deviation, because everyone has a diet. You have to eat something.
No, I think of the strict interpretation of the word diet. It means that you are restricting certain foods.
No, that's a calorie control diet. Everyone has a diet.
I think the audience are endorsing what you're saying. So I give you the benefit of the doubt, Graham, and tell me something about my favourite diet. 50 seconds, starting now.
I don't have one.
Giles, you came in first.
Yes, all his diets are consequently his favourite diet.
So what's your challenge?
That it's deviation.
No.
According to what he said, you've accepted that everybody has a diet. He has to have all his diets are consequently at an equal level. They're all his favourite diet, or his least favourite. We're now into semantic byplay, but why not?
I'd go with the fact that I stopped speaking. I thought that was a...
that's the one I was going for.
No.
I was going there, but the woman in the front row from Paris was sitting before, was shaking her head at me, so I was confused.
Giles, you can't...
Wait, let's hear some more from him, I agree. No, he spent
please.
A lot on the tan.
Shut up, will you? We don't have secondary challenges.
Of course not.
He did hesitate.
He did hesitate, exactly.
He was sufficiently logical within the rules of just a minute not to have your first challenge.
You're quite right.
The looks on my face, I wish they could be conveyed, but it's radio. But there we are. 48 seconds with you, Graham. My favourite diet starting now.
My favourite diet is chips. I don't know. Perhaps with ketchup. That's a deviation or a variety. I really thought I...
Poor challenge.
He clearly doesn't want the subject.
No, but I'm so... I was just so confused because I thought it was still... I thought it was a Giles now. Yeah. So when you said Graham, I was like, what?
Oh, you must be always ready for the unexpected.
I know. Well, that was very unexpected.
Paul, a correct challenge. You have 40 seconds. My favourite diet, starting now.
Undoubtedly, my favourite diet is the Mediterranean one. I drink 5 glasses of that particular sea every day. And you know my skin flushes like a young, blossoming virgin as she is led away to the police inquiry.
Super challenge.
Has he looked at himself lately? Young and blossoming? So I don't mean to be cruel, but you know.
Hang on, I was a god about 10 minutes ago.
10 minutes is a long time in love.
Yes, yes, it certainly is.
A rugged godson.
So what is your challenge within the rules of justice?
Deviation from the truth.
Well, oh, shall we put it to the audience?
No.
No, I think, I don't think you could compare his complexion to that of a young virgin. I really don't. So, Suki, you have 26 seconds on my favourite diet starting now.
My favourite diet is chocolate. I have a very sweet tooth. As long as it's packed with sugar and calories, I will eat it. None of this low-fat, high-fibre for me. Give me cake. Give me bits.
Charles.
Just a repeat of the give me, give
yes,
me.
Yes, and I think all the audience spotted it as well. And there's 12 seconds for you, Giles. My favourite diet starting now.
No bread, rice, pasta or potatoes. Only consume food that traditionally requires the use of cutlery. And eat 3 times a day on your own, chewing everything at least 26 times.
So at the end of that round, Giles Brandreth was once again speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. But Suki Webster's creeping up, and she's only 1 point behind him. And she's 2 or 3 points ahead of Graham Norton and Paul Merton in that order. Suki, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is In the Doghouse. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
As a teenager, I was often in the doghouse for my pubescent antics. I spent so long in the doghouse, which wasn't easy because we had a miniature Pekingese. Getting in there was very troublesome. Eventually, I refurbed it and put it in a conservatory. That was much better. Neil Armstrong was also put in the doghouse by his wife. When he went to the moon, he had told her that he had just popped down to the newsagents for a paper. She wasn't happy. She didn't speak to him for 3...
Paul Challenge.
I'm 40. It was a repetition of she, quite
she,
quickly.
She, yes. Yeah. She, right.
Oh, I know.
Oh. It's a correct challenge. Those are the rules of justice.
A lot of us make correct challenges and they go ignored, you know. But not necessarily me, obviously.
I can't give you a bonus point.
No, I don't want a bonus point. I just want to take this opportunity to say how much I admire you, Nicholas. I always have.
Yeah. I can't give you a bonus point for flattery or for bitterness.
Oh, God, that's what keeps me awake.
31 seconds, Paul. You have another point, and you have the subject In the Doghouse, starting now.
In the Doghouse is indeed referring to the kennel that you find rested against a lot of domestic homes in the mid-19th century. One thinks of it as an American invention. I don't know why I'm talking like this, but I think I'm prematurely...
Suki Challenge.
I thought there was a hesitation.
No, there wasn't a hesitation.
I apologise. I take it back.
You could have had him for deviation from his normal speech, but it's a bit fake.
Too late.
Right. Paul, an incorrect challenge on the point to you. 16 seconds in the doghouse, starting now.
One thinks of those fantastic Tom and Jerry cartoons where the dog, always the enemy of the cat, was put into the doghouse and he would react in a very angry way. I remember one particular animated adventure.
Graham, challenge.
Repetitive remember.
Nobody does. The ultimate irony.
I think right at the beginning you said I remember those...
You're not sure, though, are you?
No.
You've got no idea, have you, really?
Madame.
You haven't, have you? I must want to bet it. If we're taping this, we can play it back. We can play it back.
Oh, we haven't got time for that. I have to make a big quick decision. It is. Now, I think at the beginning you said I remember. Mm. And so, Graham, you have a point. And you have 2 seconds in the doghouse.
Irony. Sorry, yeah.
How many seconds?
In the doghouse, 2 seconds.
This is genius. Marvelous. Okay.
2 seconds starting now.
In the doghouse, there is a lot of...
Right. So Graham Norton was then speaking as a whistle when he's crept forward. He's now equal with Suki Webster in second place. They are 1 point behind Giles Brandreth, and they're all just 5 points ahead of Paul Merton. But it's the contribution. We're going into the final round. And Graham, it's with you to begin. The subject is My First Car. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Since you asked, my first car was a Toyota RAV4. Bought a little prematurely because I couldn't drive at the time. I assumed I'd learn, which I did many years later. But that car...
Giles Challenge.
It was a laugh to cover the hesitation.
Ooh.
No,
Jacques.
I'm going to interpret that as a laugh through dialogue.
Oh, very good. Can I say that's brilliantly put?
Yes.
So you have...
Was that your laugh through tears?
I gave you the benefit of the doubt the time before. Giles, Graham has it on this occasion.
Can I just establish, I haven't had my benefit of the doubt yet, have I?
Give it to him now, then. Right. 46 seconds, Graham. My first car, starting now.
In retrospect, it was perhaps a mistake to buy a car just because it had cup holders.
Paul, challenge.
Was that repetition of buy?
Paul, a correct challenge. 42 seconds. My first car, starting now.
My first car was a Rover. You pressed the button and the automatic roof went up and down. I wasn't particularly very fond of this vehicle. It had a rather top-heavy feel to it, but I had recently passed my test and I was keen to get out on the land's motorways. Afterwards, I bought another car that was a much better one than the previous. Oh, this is the most boring thing I've ever said in all my life.
And Giles' challenge.
There's a charitable intervention. Because he was saying it was very boring and he was moving towards a hesitation. I was anticipating that.
No, you can be as boring as you like in just a minute.
Exactly,
as long
Nicholas.
As you don't...
I mean, exactly, Nicholas. Sorry, the intonation was wrong there, wasn't it? I didn't mean like an exactly Nicholas.
It was the right intonation because it got a laugh.
Yeah, that's
And
right.
I'm very tolerant. I accept the laughs even though at my expense.
Yeah.
So, benefit of the doubt to you, Paul. You got another benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. I'll take benefit of the doubt.
19 seconds, my first...
How many seconds?
19.
Right.
Second, starting now.
My first car was a miracle of engineering. Let me take you through every aspect of the engine. There was a couple of bits that went whoop, and another thing that went shoo, and I realised that I had no idea how this magnificent creation could be powered down the road. I was...
Well, as I said a moment ago, this was to be the last round, and it is, and they give the final score. Well, it's extremely fair and serious. There's only one point separates all four of them. So what can I do but to say that Suki Webster and Paul Merton are just one point behind Giles Brandreth and Graham Norton, but I think they all did so well. I don't say that any one of them is a winner above the other. I say all four of them are winners this week. And they were all so good. So let me say, finally, a very great thank you to Paul Merton, Giles Brandreth, Suki Webster, and Graham Norton. I also thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle so elegantly. We are grateful to our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're grateful to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre, who've cheered us on our way magnificently. So from our audience, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel, we are grateful to you. And please remember, tune in again at the same time next week, or the week after, or next year, when we play Just a Minute!